This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we say in the psalm today, may the words on our lips and the meditations of our heart always be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our Redeemer, and our cornerstone. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes we can be so spoiled that what we have received and what we have, we get so quickly accustomed to it than when perhaps we lose that privilege or that thing, we feel like we've been slighted when it was never ours to begin with. Let me give you a few examples from my own life. In my old corporate days, I had to fly a lot overseas to Asia, and the representative from one of the airlines, Japan Airlines, came and said, "Marty, you're going to Japan all the time. If you'll fly exclusively JAL, we will guarantee to put you in first class every trip." Sounded like a good deal to me. So the first time you go there and you walk up the stairs to get into the airplane, there is the flight attendant handing you your kimono and your slippers. The second one hands you your glass of Dom Perignon. And the third one invites you to the sushi bar to get a little snack before the plane takes off. I could get used to this. And I did. Until about the fourth trip, when I arrived, get into the airplane, and I'm ready to make that left turn to go up to first class, and a hand grabs my shoulder and says, "Sorry, sir, you're in coach." They had had a change of management that took place, and all of my privileges were suddenly gone, and I'm upset. Where's my Dom Perignon? Where's my sushi? As if I had deserved this. We can get so spoiled sometimes because we suddenly think we deserve it. In the same line, I tell the story of my daughter. With all this crazy travel I did, I was one of Hyatt's best customers. They used to send me these things. 3 nights, any hotel in the world you want to go to. Well, she was 2 and 3 at the time, even before she had enrolled at PK3 at St. Joseph's. And we'd go up to Disney. And we'd stay at the Hyatt Grand Cypress, 5-star hotel plus. And they put you on that level where they have all the good food at the buffet. And she'd go in there and they'd have these shrimp the size of lobsters. And I thought, oh boy, 2 years old, boy, I'm going to really have my hands full when she's older. Well, the one time we go up there, she runs ahead of me, goes into the lounge. She looks at the buffet, looks over at the attendant there and says, "Where's the shrimp?" We get spoiled very quickly. And it's just this idea of being spoiled that Jesus is trying to address and Paul is trying to address in his reading as well today from Philippians. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had that wonderful parable about the workers, that some go out in the morning, some at midday, some later on. And remember, the whole point of Jesus was, you know, don't be so ignorant, don't be so mean, don't be so stingy, because it wasn't yours to begin with anyway. And he's following up with a very similar story here today, that we're just tenants. At this time we have on this earth, what has been given to us as gift is just that we don't own it. And we need to be good stewards of the gifts we've been given. But we also can get spoiled because the things we do, we sort of start to think that we have earned it. God, look at all I've done. Now you got to do this for me. And we get spoiled and we get upset when it doesn't work that way. This is precisely the problem that Paul is dealing with today. Paul writes this Philippians from jail. Go home and read the book of Philippians. It's very short, and read it with the perspective of this is a guy that's in jail and probably is going to die before he gets out of jail. It is amazing the joy and the peace that Paul has when he writes that letter from jail. In this particular section, he's dealing with people who think they are spoiled, and they think they're Christians, but they're also Jews. And because they're good Jews, they think we are better than these other people who are not Jews as well as Christians. And Paul's trying to set them straight. And he says, look, if there is anybody that could take claim for what they've done, it's me. I'm a Jew. I'm a Pharisee. I can speak Hebrew. He goes on and on with this laundry list of all of these things, accomplishments of things that he has done. But then he concludes it all by turning the table and saying, and it's all nothing. Absolutely nothing. He uses the word that if you translate it literally, it means doggy doo-doo. You can use whatever phrase you want for that. But we can remember that from last week with the blessing of the animals. But he says it's all nothing compared to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wow. All that is nothing. I don't deserve anything, but I have been given this gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is dealing with the same thing in his story, his parable today. He tells the story about these mean tenants, and they kill the landowner's son as well as everybody else. Well, what would you guys do to them? They say, well, we'd take them out, and we'd kill them. And then suddenly they realize, oh my gosh, he's talking about us. And they get very upset. Why does Jesus give this story to the scribes and the Pharisees? Because they were doing all of these things and thinking because of what they had done in rigorously keeping these laws that they deserved more, that they were at least three rungs on the ladder above everybody else. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't earn your way there. You're just tenants here. There is a way that I like to look at this, and it's an image of a road. You can start running the video as I talk. You might have gone to this sometime out in Colorado. It's called Skyline Drive. And Skyline Drive is this beautiful tourist attraction that's up in the mountains in Colorado. And these views are spectacular. The little challenge is there's no guardrails on those roads. And I remember when I was in high school and my dad driving the station wagon and my mom is leaning in on the passenger side like this as if she's going to physically move the car away from the side. You know, if we were to go on any road, something like this, we'd probably drive a lot faster if there were guardrails. I mean, you go across a bridge that's 500, 1,000 feet high, there's guardrails, and we zoom across it doing 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. But if you took off the guardrails, I think we'd slow down a bit. Well, this is the image for me of what this is about. We need guardrails. And the guardrails in our spiritual life, if you want to get an idea, start with the first reading we heard of the Ten Commandments. If you want to know if you are okay, if you're on the road, if you're going to stay safe, there are the boundaries. Look at those kinds of things. And so the problem is the scribes and the Pharisees start emphasizing the guardrail so much that guess what they're going to do? They're going to run right into it because they're looking at that instead of the road. And it's the same for us. We need guardrails. For those who are new to the faith as children or even as adults, we need those things that tell us these are the boundaries. You want to stay in the road, watch out for these things. And that's important. But that's not where the focus is supposed to be. And so we've got these scribes and the Pharisees who are focused solely on the boundaries, and they forget about the road. And they're not going anywhere. And they're making it difficult for other people to go anywhere as well. So when we want to follow through in this image, think of Jesus as the road. Keep your eyes on the road. Paul says, all this boundary stuff that I have, all these things I've done, it's nothing. I've got Jesus guiding me on the road. One of the greatest sermons I think I've ever heard about was a priest stood up. He sang Simon and Garfunkel's song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. The song ends, and he says, and that's my understanding of Jesus. And he sat down. Makes a very powerful point. It's about focus on Jesus. It's about the gift that we're given, that he's talking about. And all those other actions that we're going to do are going to flow from that, not the other way around. Don't focus on the boundaries. Focus on the path and the journey with him. I want to end today with a story that is a parable unto itself that follows this same kind of theme as the parable Jesus gives us today. And it's one that I used to hear a lot in Italy, and it's told of a town that was famous for their wine. And all of the townspeople would grow their grapes, and at harvest time, they would press the grapes and make their wine, and they would all contribute to the communal vat where they would make this great varietal wine that wine buyers from all over the world would come to get. Well, one particular year, they had a bad year. And so what happens, one of the guys decides, well, you know, I'm just going to keep it all to myself and sell it because I'm going to need this for my family. So when it comes time to pour our portion of the wine, I'm just going to pour in a keg of water. And after all, who's going to know the difference? There's so many townspeople. And so he does. 7 years go by. The wine has aged now, and they're ready, and they call all the wine buyers from around the world, and they tap the big town keg, and what comes out but water. Everybody in the town had decided they were going to be selfish and greedy, as if they deserved more, and the result was nobody got anything. It makes the same point for us. Focusing on gratitude, not what we deserve, but focusing on all as gift, is going to enable us to be incredibly giving and grace-filled people if we focus on him. May it be so for us. Amen.